Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I thought we would originally finish our sermon series on Holy Communion today, but I'm going to call an audible. You all hung with me last Sunday as I tried to describe how when we do this in remembrance of Jesus, when we remember at the Lord's table, we aren't calling to mind what happened in the past. We are re-experiencing that past event in the present, as if we were the very ones at the table with Jesus 2,000 years ago. We explored how the concept that the saving power of a past event is brought into the present through reenactment. And as hard as it was for me to try and put that into words and describe it, I know it was just as hard for you all to listen to that and to try to begin to wrap your minds around it. So since you hung with me last Sunday, I'm going to call an audible. Next Sunday, we'll look back at all we've learned and explored in this sermon series. But for today, we're going to spend some time with the two Emmaus travelers when Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. So some of you have heard me say before that I wish we could sit for a couple of hours together and study this passage, because there's so much I would love to share about this story with you. We would walk through the passage verse by verse, and I would tell you about all the cool Greek words that the author of Luke uses and how they can help us understand more fully what's happening in this passage. I'd show you what a masterful storyteller Luke is by showing you how the choices of words and images in this passage connect to so many other words and images used elsewhere in Luke. I would show you the fascinating research that has led scholars to believe that the second traveler on the road to Emmaus was actually Cleopas's wife. And we talk about that phrase, the breaking of bread, and how it's also used in Acts 2, and how the author of Luke and Acts, which by the way is the same author, intended for these two stories to be connected. But as usual, there is just never enough time to share with you all the things that I want to. So for today, you'll have to just settle for a few minutes of a sermon. So these verses in Luke take us back to the afternoon of the resurrection. Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas are headed from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And we don't even have to listen that closely to hear the grief and the despair, the pain and the sadness in their words. We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. They, like others, had put all their hope in Jesus. And although these two travelers aren't named elsewhere in the Gospels, they were clearly disciples of Jesus. They had followed him. They believed him to be the Messiah. And 3 days prior to this conversation, he was brutally beaten and put to death by the religious and political leaders of his day. So when they say, we had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel, they are saying a lot more than just those words. Their hopes were shattered. They expected a different kind of Messiah and a different way for Jesus to be the Messiah. And their dreams were absolutely crushed when Jesus was killed. So on this particular afternoon, things were bleak and dark, and they must have felt so very hopeless. For the last 3 days, these two travelers, along with all the followers of Jesus, had been walking through the valley of the shadow of death. which can also be translated the darkest valley. And 3 days after walking through the darkest of valleys, Jesus came near. The text says that Jesus came near and he went with them. Which is nothing new, by the way, because all throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus came near to people, and he continues to do it after his resurrection. Think about Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, you are with me. Jesus was with the Cleopases even when they didn't recognize it. I wonder how many times for us that Jesus has been with us and we just didn't recognize him. We all know a thing or two about walking through dark valleys. In fact, many in our congregation are walking through them right now. But the truth is that we are never, ever alone in those dark valleys. Even when we don't recognize him, Jesus still comes near, and he still goes with us. And so the travelers reach Emmaus, and they invite Jesus to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he did something that they had experienced him do who knows how many times. He took bread. He blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them. And in that moment, their eyes were opened, and they knew it was him. Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is so incredibly beautiful and deeply powerful. Jesus revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread, just like Jesus does for us every single time we come to his table. Although they aren't named in Acts 2, I think the Cleopases are among those who spent time in the temple, broke bread in their homes, and ate with glad and generous hearts. The memories of all the meals that they had shared with Jesus, but especially the one at their home in Emmaus, must have been so fresh and vivid in their hearts and their minds that they continued to break bread so that Jesus would be revealed to them over and over again in the breaking of bread. They wanted again to encounter Jesus, and so they broke bread because they knew that Jesus, the very presence of Christ, would be with them in their midst when they did. The Cleopases may have been the first people to encounter the risen Christ in the breaking of bread, but they weren't the last. Because still, every time that Jesus invites people to his table to receive his body and blood in the bread and wine, we still encounter the risen Christ. Because for us, the bread and the wine are not just bread and wine. They aren't symbols. In this meal, they become for us the presence of Christ. When you receive the bread and the wine, you are holding the presence of the risen Christ in your hands, just like Mary held the presence of Christ in her arms when he was a baby. And when you take the bread and the wine, which for us is the presence of the risen Christ, and you put it in your mouth and swallow it, you literally are getting to taste and see that the Lord is good. You get to take into your body the presence of Jesus. You get to take into your body the love of God, the forgiveness and grace and mercy that God so freely offers us. The presence of Jesus in the bread and wine, they don't just nourish us spiritually, but they nourish us physically as well. The table blessing that we say after communion every Sunday, it's not just words. They are promise. The promise that the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that you receive in the bread and wine truly strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. So just like Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas that resurrection night, and just like the followers of Jesus in Acts 2, we experience the risen Christ as he reveals himself to us in the breaking of bread. In this meal at our Lord's table, the risen Christ comes to us again and again and again. And then he goes with us as we are sent out these doors, as we are strengthened and nourished to be his body in the world. Sisters and brothers, accept Jesus' invitation every time he invites you to this meal. Because not only is there more than enough room for all at this table, Jesus wants to feed you with his very presence so that you can be the bread of life for the world. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.